You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Stay connected to your Cleveland Browns for the latest draft news, photos, videos, and more from the team. Like them on Facebook at Cleveland Browns. Follow them on Twitter at Browns and on Instagram at Official Browns. And, of course, tomorrow at ClevelandBrowns.com, the newly redesigned ClevelandBrowns.com, you'll be able to access the complete first-round mock drafts of both Vic Carucci and myself. But without any further ado, here comes my second version, updated mock draft with a look at the top five. Go ahead. Hold on.
I just want to throw one more tweet in there.
You got another good one?
From Jeff. Sweet baby Jesus, please no. You think I'm getting a lot of support on this thing?
Talladega Nights right there?
Oh, my God.
Yes. Very good.
Go ahead.
Very good. All right.
Sorry, I didn't mean to
interrupt. Here we go. The Houston Texans on the clock. I agree with you. I think the Texans are going to go quarterback here. I think it'll be either the quarterback or Jadeveon Clowney, but I think Blake Bortles has been linked to the Texans for so long, and until that changes significantly, I'm going to keep him there at the top of the draft. Blake Bortles is the pick for the Texans.
Number two.
Jeff Fisher wants to run the ball. He wants to be physical and arguably the best player in the draft, is, as many have said, and the best certainly offensive lineman in the draft is Greg Robinson from Auburn. They signed Kenny Britt, who could be an explosive player, who had some great seasons with Jeff Fisher in Tennessee. Guy, they tantalizing talent, didn't make a big investment in him, so maybe they don't take wide receiver quite this early in this draft. They go with Robinson, solidify that line. They do have plenty of playmakers out there now in St. Louis, so Robinson gets the call at number two overall.
Number three,
again, the Jacksonville Jaguars is a team that I think needs a franchise quarterback. Chad Henne, yes, I appreciate that they signed him, but not the answer. This is a team that also needs some business, a big boost to their business as well. And I think Johnny Manziel gets the call at number three, does not slip past the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think that's a feeling that's out there in a lot of people's minds that Manziel will end up in Jacksonville at number three. So that's what I'm going with here in Mock Draft 2.0.
Number four.
The Cleveland Browns are on the clock at number four, and they take the highest rated player on their board. Jadeveon Clowney from South Carolina. I think with Johnny Football's impressive pro day, things could work out this way if Clowney doesn't go number one. I think that you saw the investment that was made pretty significantly in the offseason. Not that you can have too many assets at it on the defensive line by the Jaguars, that they would be more inclined to go with a Johnny Football here. This guy, remember, Mike Pettine, a defensive-oriented coach, would love to get this kind of player to wreak havoc on opposing quarterbacks and offenses. So I think it is the way that the Browns go here at number four. And let me say this. I think if Clowney's gone, the pick for the Browns, I'm starting to get away from Watkins. The wide receiver depth, as I watch these guys, is so unbelievably great that they're going to be able to get a very good wide receiver for this team either in the second round or the third round if they decide to wait, or at the end of the first, as you had with Kelvin Benjamin. So I think it's going to come down to Clowney or Mack if they go defense, and on offense, I think they maybe make a safe and prudent pick with a Greg Robinson or Jake Matthews. But right now, I have Clowney falling because of two quarterbacks in the top three. The Browns thrilled, run up there and hand in that ticket, as we heard Mike Pettine say at the owners' meetings.
Number five.
The Raiders, I think this one could go two ways here. I think it could either be Sammy Watkins, but I'm going to have them select Jake Matthews, the offensive tackle from Texas A&M. We know their offseason didn't go so well on the offensive side of the ball. I think that they could always use another offensive lineman. You've got Matt Schaub. You're paying him money to be the quarterback. I expect that they will draft a quarterback later on in this draft, but they go with Jake Matthews, the offensive tackle from Texas A&M, at number five. All right, continuing it right now at number 26 for the Browns. This pick stays exactly the same for me. Kyle Fuller, cornerback from Virginia Tech. Bigger corner, can lock down the field opposite Joe Hayden. Natural athlete, good skill, good speed, ball skills. He covers. Many times you watch him on tape, and he is running the wide receiver's routes for them, so that means he will be good in press man, which I know seems to be an important thing in this defense, so that's good news there. Kyle Fuller, the Browns get their cornerback, which I think is a huge need. Starting off, obviously, with a lot of attention on the defensive side of the ball, the first two picks brings me to pick 35 in the second round. And at this point, if he was on the board, I would take Derek Carr. Strongest arm in the class. Very impressive to many scouts. If they can protect him, he will be very, very good. Clearly has issues with his footwork in the face of pressure. Can those be fixed? Can those be coached up? If the answer is yes, you could have a very successful pro who reminds a lot of people of Jay Cutler, Matt Stafford. Get him here at 35. You feel a lot better about it because you've already gotten a major impact player in Clowney. And then, of course, you get Kyle Fuller, the excellent corner, to start immediately opposite Joe Hayden. Then at pick 71, he ran a slow 40 time, but I think could be one of the best values in the draft if he can get to this point for the Browns. And in many mocks, he goes either late in the second, so I could see the Browns trade back in to get him, or a guy like Allen Robinson or a Jordan Matthews from Vanderbilt. Watched him today a little bit. Jarvis Landry from LSU. Great possession receiver, compliment to Josh Gordon. Could become like the Anquan Boldin to Gordon, and has the best hands in this draft class. I think it'd be a great pick for them at 71. At 83, address the offensive line guard Brandon Thomas, and at 102, inside linebacker Shane Scobb from Stanford. And now I got Charles Sims out of there. I still like Charles Sims a lot, but I think that the Browns might maybe wait a little bit more at running back and take a guy. Keep an eye on a guy named Terrence West from Towson. I think he can be a big-time player, one-cut runner, fit this zone scheme very, very effectively. So I pushed running back down a little bit, and because I added Clowney, you can't pass on that kind of talent if he's there at number four.
And I think, you know, the biggest huge disparity between us regarding Carr, as far as we both like Carr for the Browns, but you like him, you know, 22 picks later than I do. But the difference the discrepancy, as I see it, is I'm not making the maneuver that puts him in the middle yet because I don't know what that looks like. I can only deal with what I'm dealing with, and the priority to me is such, and the quality that he has, the talent that he has, is going to make him, in my mind, unavailable at 26. I certainly gave that thought, but you went along the lines as that, hey, he'll be there. I just think he'll be gone before you could get to 26. Is for a reach for him. I think when it comes to quarterback, depending on how your grades lay out as you assess it, the need is going to factor into the thinking, in my mind, because this team has not backstop itself at all. Anyone who thinks the Browns are in good shape at quarterback, in good enough shape to be sort of nonchalant about drafting a quarterback this year, and 26th overall is not nonchalant, by the way. I'm not talking about you, but those who would say, you know, hey, you get one, wait till you can get an A.J. McCarron later and all this. I can't buy any of that talk right now. I just can't. I can't buy Jimmy Garoppolo at a later spot. I need to buy priority. I need to know I'm getting this guy. This is me making the pick, thinking, believing, as I believe with for this franchise, it's that big of a priority.
If number one is Bortles and number three is Manziel, as I have it laid out, I think when you get to 26, you know that there's a good chance a quarterback's not going to go unless somebody trades back in. So you could be aware of if you need to come back in, but somebody should be able to get to 35. So that's why I have Carr going there, because I don't love him. I think he has a lot of great traits. I love his arm. He can make every throw in the book, but he does a lot of things that scare me. Off-balance throws, the pressure. I don't want to make that early of an investment in a guy like Derek Carr personally, but later I'm fine with it, and he's going to be surrounded by tremendous talent. If you all of a sudden say, Carr, you're back there. You've got two Pro Bowlers on the line. I expect them to address the line, as we both do, as the draft goes on. You can get him good protection with Josh Gordon in this situation, Jarvis Landry, or whether it be an Allen Robinson, who I love, Jordan Matthews, who I like as well. One of those guys is your number two. Baby Hawk in the slot, Ben Tate running the football, and Jordan Cameron. You're going to have a very, very good offense that a guy like Derek Carr could put up some very big numbers in. But I don't want to take him at four. I'm not doing it.
If you're afraid enough of him to not take him there, and understandably, and you decide, okay, he'll be there at 26, I'm terrified about Johnny Manziel, and I wouldn't touch him in the top three. I don't think he belongs anywhere near there. I know he did a lot to help his stock, but he would terrify me, period, much more so than Derek Carr. There's a sounder player there, a better arm, and for all the rough edges he has, I think I can fix those and coach those. Johnny Manziel, who maybe, given where you put him, and again, this isn't about our disagreement over where Manziel is in our respective mocks, but for those who would say, well, who I'd rather have at four is a Manziel if he's there. My number one quarterback is Blake Bortles. I don't think Manziel belongs anywhere near the top five, maybe even not even the top 10, although he's probably going to be taken that high. But to see him at three, that would terrify me as a team that has that pick, and that means he would be there for the, you know, potentially there for the Browns in this scenario. But again, the guy I would feel the most comfortable about is Blake Bortles. Second on that list and the most realistic to me is Carr, and I think if the Browns, yeah, if they've got a trade-down scenario that puts him in the middle of the round and they can get him there, I'll be thrilled with that. But we're doing a mock here. We're not doing mock trades here. We're trying to lay this out as the picks are offered to us. And, again, both of these version 2.0 of the mock draft, Nathan Zagura's and mine, will be posted on clevelandbrowns.com, the top 32, plus all of our Browns choices, all of those available on clevelandbrowns.com. So make sure you check that out. And make sure you stick around with us. We are going to have a conversation coming up with Josh Kendall. He covers South Carolina for the state newspaper in Columbia, South Carolina. We're going to talk about Jadeveon Clowney's workout with him. Nathan's guy going to the Browns with the fourth pick. So let's hear more about him from Josh Kendall. Coming up, CBD.